Falcon Cast Podcast, the ultimate podcast for the ultimate fan.
Now, here's AtlantaFalcons.com's own Jay Adams and Daniel Cox.
Falcons fans, welcome back to another edition of the Falcon Cast Podcast here on AtlantaFalcons.com. As always, thanks for joining us. To my left, Daniel Cox, Jay Adams. We're in week 11.
Yes.
That's what I've been told. We've counted them up.
Yeah, we're over
tallied
halfway.
Them.
Well over halfway.
And week 11 it is. The Falcons coming off a 33-10 loss to the Seattle Seahawks. You know, those are the ones that you try to forget as much as you possibly can. But Falcons moving on to Tampa Bay.
Yep.
And we're going to talk a little bit about a lot of stuff, aren't we?
Right. Tampa and lookalikes.
Lookalikes, all kinds of stuff. So we're going to hit you. We got some doppelgangers, right? Mm-hmm. Can you explain what a doppelganger is?
Doppelganger is one of those individuals in the world that looks like you.
Yes. Yeah. And we're going to talk a little bit about those.
Okay.
So certainly stay tuned for that.
Right.
The locker room report, we're going to bring you back into the locker room. We're going to talk a little bit about what some of the guys said. Hit you with some most valuable Falcons, which we've got a lot to talk about there because, boy, did we put up a stinker last week.
Oh, huh? Yes.
So we'll talk about that. And but let's start out. I mean, you look for a couple of little positives in these games, and it's hard sometimes when you know you look at the scoreboard and it's 33-10. But there were certainly some positive things that the Falcons can take out of the loss to Seattle, and one of them is this kid Paul Warlow is something else, huh?
Yeah, it's a name we've heard about a little bit lately here. 2 weeks in a row. 19 tackles.
Yes.
Which is a franchise, or tied a franchise record.
Yeah, it ties the franchise record for most tackles in a single game since 1994. That, according to Stats LLC. And the reason 1994, well, the best we can gather is that that's when there was some kind of even criteria met for what constitutes a tackle and what does not. Because every team kind of. Keeps it a little differently.
There's some conflicting stat measurements even now. Like we get stats from the team and sometimes they differ slightly, by like half, from what the league produces and other stat sites. So it's kind of sometimes you have to pick who you want to go with.
it's
which is the better stat?
I'm going to take a coin.
We'll take the Falcons stats today.
Yeah.
NFL.com tomorrow.
Well, we go by the Falcon stats, and Paul Warlow had 19 tackles for the second straight game, and it's quite an accomplishment. And what's amazing to me is you do it once, and you're like, maybe it's just a game situation, it was a fluke, this or that, especially with an undrafted rookie, because you don't know what you're going to get from a guy week to week. But you had an idea back in the preseason, the first preseason game. Paul Warlow comes in against Cincinnati and puts up 11 tackles and basically what amounts to about four series worth of work.
Right.
And you kind of got the feeling then. And honestly, the first time I truly noticed him was Friday Night Lights during the annual scrimmage. And he really stood out to me in that game. Got a lot of pressure, would have had, sacks if you kept track of such things in a scrimmage, but you kind of had that feeling then, and then he kind of falls back under the radar.
He wasn't a starter,
Starter. Asked to come in, right?
Undrafted.
Asked to come in, with Sean Weatherspoon goes down, and you've got some injuries there. Steven Nicholas went down for a couple of weeks. Comes in. Next thing you know, he's putting up record-setting performances.
Yeah.
And it's pretty amazing to watch.
And the best thing is his, the response that he gives. He was obviously asked about it in the first game 2 weeks ago when he had 19 tackles, and he said, those tackles are, that's just a stat. We didn't win the game. I didn't do enough, to affect the game. And that's the kind of attitude you love. I mean, we love the stats. We love to highlight those guys when they do well. But ultimately, they're just in it for wins. But the other thing is, I think the fans are gravitating to this guy. You know, it's obviously for what he's doing on the field, but I think they see some things in him. He's got that lunch pail kind of attitude, that gritty. You know, when you think about some of the guys over the history of the Falcons that fans have really enjoyed, you know, and there's been a number of pretty good linebackers for the Falcons, Buddy Curry, Jesse Tuggle, Brooking, and these are all guys that fans really seem to enjoy, and it was they had that attitude, that run all over the field, we're just going to make tackles, we're going to stop the guy by whatever means necessary, and Warrior has that.
Yeah, and you talk about some of these guys that are on the list, and it's really a who's who of Falcons linebackers. Yeah. Of course, you're talking from 1994 to now. Mm-hmm. So you're actually missing, you know, one of the guys you mentioned, Jesse Tuggle, you're actually missing a pretty good portion of his career by not, you know, including him before then. And who knows how many games where he may have had, you know, during before that span, may have had close to 19.
I can believe, I could see a scenario where Jesse Tuggle would have 19, or at least 15.
I think I remember hearing it, and this was back when he was on D-Block a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. He said against the Saints one year he had something like 22 in a game. Hmm. So, I mean, these tackle stats, they can be very different sometimes. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think you've got to respect an undrafted rookie that comes in and suddenly puts himself in names, not once but twice, puts himself within names of Jesse Tuggle, of Keith Brooking. I mean, Curtis Lofton, he's currently tied with Curtis Lofton for that number one spot with 19 tackles. I mean, I think it's just amazing to see, you know, somebody come in and have that kind of impact.
And one of the craziest things, and you know, we always compare what a guy did in college to now, and, you know, look at the differences. The most tackles he ever had in a game at Delaware was 18.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's fantastic when some of his, you know, he's a young guy, one of his best games of his football career came in the NFL.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And another Paul Warlow stat is that last year he had 107 total tackles, and number two on that list was at 68, which, oh, by the way, the guy who had 68 played in one extra game than Paul did. Wow. So, I mean, you think about it, this is a guy, because I've seen a little criticism there of Paul, like his tackles are too far downfield, or they're assists, empty tackles. No,
it's a
stop. You don't give out tackles for a guy who just happens to be in the neighborhood. You know, you got to do some work to even get in the neighborhood in the first place.
Yeah.
So I don't buy that at all. If we do a little buy or sell there, I definitely sell that.
Yeah, I sell it too.
I think he's making quality tackles, and even Mike Nolan said so yesterday. I mean, this is a guy who's coming in. He's not doing those JOP tackles, jump on pile.
Yeah.
You know, those guys that just kind of try to pad their stats. These are not the types of tackles that he's having. Yeah. So he's getting around the football, and he's got that history. We were just talking about the Delaware stats. He's got the history of being around the football.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, what more can you say? I mean, we've said a lot about Paul Warrior.
We have, but
in the last few days. But it's like you said. Sometimes, you know, we want to find the things that are you know, positive about the games.
Sure.
You know, the game was a loss. It's frustrating. We all sit through them. You know, but Paul Warlow had a great game, and he's got he's developing a bright future, you know, down the line for the Falcons, and that's a win, you know, that's a big deal.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, one of the guys, if you've ever known, you've met Jesse Tuggle, right?
Yes.
You've been around Jesse. That's... You think he looks like Denzel Washington a little bit?
Oh, absolutely. I can see that.
Like, I would think, like, if there was ever a Jesse Tuggle movie made, like you call it The Hammer or something like that, I mean, Denzel's got to play him.
Denzel would play him for sure, and he would do that. That'd be fun. I mean, Jesse's not as some of Denzel's characters are. They have a hard edge about them, like in all aspects of life.
Yeah,
Jesse's, you know, on the field, Jesse seems like he was a different guy than the guy off the field, because he's a super nice guy.
Oh,
You know,
can't say enough about him.
Absolutely, but they do look alike. That's for sure.
What about some other guys that look alike? Why don't we get into some in our Which Is Better doppelganger?
Which Is Better, yeah. Sounds edition. Like a segue there.
A little bit of a segue there. So we're talking about Paul Warlow, and Paul Warlow's got to have a twin out there, right?
Probably.
And you kind of scoured the internet a little bit.
I did a couple of things.
Okay, what'd you do?
First of all, I'm big on asking for help.
Yes.
Yeah. When I if I don't know the answer, if I'm struggling to find the answer, I'll go to a source that I feel like can help me.
Yeah.
So I went to Paul's brother, Eddie, who is a very active Twitter member of the Falcons family on Twitter. He's fantastic. You know, the fans love him. They are always engaging with him and vice versa. So I said, hey, man, who do you think your brother looks like? And he said he couldn't remember right off. He couldn't remember the guy's name right off, but he's like, oh, yeah, Channing Tatum. He's like, I had to Google it to make sure, but that's him. And
so Paul Warlow and Channing Tatum, huh?
Yeah, he's like, and now I'm going to erase my history. And I'm the same way. I was at Starbucks yesterday, and I was doing some of this work, and I was looking through. I'm like, this is the point. I'm going to have to admit this. My computer is full of Channing Tatum images at the moment. You know, Google Images brings up all those pictures, and just like a smorgasbord of Channing Tatum on the screen.
Next podcast, we're going to do what's in Daniel's browser history.
Yeah.
And take a look. No, I think you nailed this one.
Yeah.
I think this one's pretty good.
Absolutely.
This is pretty good. What was funny is that you mentioned Paul's brother, Eddie. Mm-hmm. He was in town for one of the games. I can't remember. It was early on the season. It might have been the St. Louis game. And he direct messaged me. He's like, hey, dude, I'm on the sideline. Would love to meet you. And I'm like, cool.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, just look for the guy who looks like Clark Kent with an eating disorder. And so that's kind of how I found
him. Tall and slender.
No. He's not. Okay. He says eating disorder as if, you know, he overeats, but I can't see that. He looks like he's very fit to me, in my estimation. Of course, my estimation on that is very different from others. But yeah, so Eddie's also got a doppelganger out there.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, I think it's a good fit. What do you think?
I think you're right on.
Okay.
I think you're right on with this one.
Okay. Paul Warlow needs to stick to his day job, though. Don't.
Yeah, no.
That's not. Yeah.
Yeah, no Magic Mike stuff.
No.
All right. I've
seen enough of that.
I'm sure you have. In your research just for this one topic.
Yeah.
So, Parade Jerry, kind of an interesting looking fellow there.
Yeah, he is.
And you had another actor.
Yes.
Who you thought looked a little bit like him.
I do. Who do you think it is? I say this as you know.
Yeah, I know.
Script sitting right.
It's. I mean, you read.
I think he looks like a really, really funny guy. One of my favorite comedians, actors, Tracy Morgan.
Okay.
What do you think?
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say that's pretty close.
They resemble each other.
Give Tracy some dreadlocks, but
yeah.
I think that one works.
Yeah, that's a nice smile that Tracy has, though.
Yes.
Very nice. I didn't feel quite as bad with a whole bunch of Tracy Morgan images.
Yeah.
On
well,
my computer.
You can get away with that.
Yeah.
The Channing Tatum one is going to cause for explanation. But luckily there's internet proof now.
Yeah, really.
That,
this is true. It's research for my job. Thank you very much.
Exactly. All right. And our last one, Steven Jackson. Why don't you go ahead and reveal the one that's going to get your butt kicked one of these days in the locker room.
Yeah. I was thinking about this today as we were standing there talking to Steven Jackson in the locker room. I'm like, I don't know if this was the best career decision I've ever made.
No, probably not.
But, and I don't know which, okay, some people don't know who this individual or these
that's really
two
sad,
individuals.
Isn't it?
Yeah, a little bit. We've come a long way, though.
We have come a long way. Yeah. I mean, I grew up on these guys.
Yeah, yeah. Milli Vanilli. Blame it on the rain.
Yeah.
Right? Isn't that? No, that was Nelson.
Yeah, no. That was Blame It On, yes, of course.
You mentioned Nelson on Twitter a while back, and all of a sudden I realized I quoted the wrong song.
Oh, yeah. I remember what that was in reference to. Yeah, all right.
Well, is that Milli or Vanilli?
I don't know.
Anyone know?
No.
Anyone? Nobody. I have no clue.
Nobody knows which one that is.
But, hey, the resemblance is strong there.
If you say so, Steve and I had nothing to do with this at all. This was all him.
Yeah.
So.
All right, well, you have no comment.
No. Okay.
Okay, well, if anyone disagrees or does agree, feel free to tweet me your comments.
Nice. Well, you know, kind of ease into things a little bit with some podcast doppelgangers.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, you know, and I've said this to you before, and I don't mind telling you now.
Right,
I feel like you resemble like a little bit of a Gavin Rosdale kind of guy.
You've said this numerous times.
Yeah, like the lead singer of Bush.
Yes.
For some reason, I
think it's the curly, longish.
It could hair. Be in the beard you got going on and everything. I don't know. Just strikes me that way.
Yeah. I go through different looks. This is my long
hair
phase.
This is one of them.
Yeah, I'm about tired of it, though.
Okay. Right. So we could see a brand new Daniel Cox.
Oh, yeah. After this season.
Oh, after this season? Okay, so we're going to reinvent ourselves during the draft period.
In the offseason, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right, good. All right, well, let's take these fine folks into the locker room here.
Let's do that.
All right. Well, we spoke to several players in the locker room, we, the media. Mm-hmm. And we're going to start off with Sean Weatherspoon, who is, he's back.
He is back.
He is, by all indication, going to play on Sunday against Tampa Bay. So certainly something to look forward to. And Spoon talked a little bit today about coming back.
That's definitely the tough part, is just sitting back and not being able to do anything about it, not being able to be a part of it. So this week you get to be a part of it. So it's up to you to go out there and do what you got to do. So just got to prepare the right way and go out there and trust my fundamentals and trust my reads and have fun.
And that's one of the things that I think you don't expect any drop off with Sean. Is the reads, the fundamentals, all that stuff is still there.
Yeah.
The thing you got to worry about is conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've been on the sideline for 8 weeks now. You haven't been, you know, playing in games, practicing, all that kind of stuff. You got an extra week on it. Mm-hmm. You know, he was allowed to come back to practice last week. But I guess the conditioning is kind of what you worry about right now.
Yeah, you know, and I don't think, you know, just based on what you've the tendencies that you've seen coaching staff have up to this point, even in previous seasons, I think you'd be surprised if you saw, you know, Spoon get, you know, 100% of the snaps. You know, I'm sure they have him on a snap count, you know, so to speak.
Sure.
But I think that, you know, the energy that he has, and he talks about, you know, going out there and having fun, I think that kind of energy, you know, what he may lack in conditioning or even lack in some of the game-changing plays that we may not see right away, I think he's going to be a real boost in the energy department.
Yeah, and you saw that he was very energetic during his 8 weeks on the sideline.
Yeah,
but,
absolutely.
Having him on the field is very different. And you actually wrote something this week about how the young linebackers, Joplo Bartu and Paul Warlow, haven't even played with him.
Yeah, yeah.
So this is kind of an interesting week for them, too, because and Smitty wouldn't say in Monday's press conference like what the lineup's going to look like. My guess, though, if we can speculate, my guess is that Sean's going to take over the weak side. Warlow might move to middle, and then Bartu would stay out on the strong side.
Yeah.
So that's just a guess, and who knows? You know, the problem here is you've got four good linebackers that you're trying to squeeze into three spots.
Yeah,
and the other one being Akeem Dent, of course. So what they end up doing, it'll be kind of interesting to see. But of course, the two younger guys get to play with Spoon for the first time.
Absolutely, and it's hardly a problem, you know, considering what we've been through this season as far as injuries and depth. But they're definitely going to get a big boost from him.
Yep. All right, let's go to Steven Jackson, who, you know, the run game has been troublesome this year. The Falcons averaging about 64 yards a game, which is good enough for 32nd in the league.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, of course, not where this running team wants to be. But Steven talked a little bit about trying to run the ball when you're behind and how that kind of influences your play calling.
Well, like you said, you know, it makes it extremely hard on the play caller when you get behind in a game or you in third and long situations. Again, he's trying to, you know, create things where it will open up the running game and allow for explosive plays to happen. So he has a lot on his plate, as well as trying to make sure that, you know, the running backs are getting their carries, are getting the feel of the game. So when you start playing, you know, catch up, it's really hard. It's really hard. I can only imagine how hard it is on a play caller when he needs to try to get everyone involved, as well as position us to, you know, take the lead or sustain drives.
I think that's really interesting that he said that. And that's something I'd never thought about. We always hear about you run the ball to set up the pass. But he's saying, you know, the Cutter, through the course of the game, is still trying to set things up to, allow the running game to continue to go on. And that's interesting, because it's something I haven't quite ever, you know, thought about. But it also tells me that they haven't completely lost faith in the running game. Just because they've kind of gone away from it, like you said, you know, those leads and or, you know, deficits have kind of dictated that. But you know, they're still doing a lot with the screen game to try to catch, you know, to get the game, the running game, back into the game, so to speak. And that tells me if they haven't completely abandoned something, they still believe it can work, and that's kind of what you want to hear.
Yeah. Well, Seattle brought an interesting look because, you know, we mentioned on this podcast last week, you know, this was a team that was allowing 116 yards a game on the ground coming in, and all of a sudden they've seemed to fix all their problems against the Falcons. But they were moving a lot of guys in the box. You had eight men in the box on a pretty consistent basis. And, you know, Smitty kind of attributed the rushing issues to missing an individual block, missing a combination block, but also the backside. You know, you're not getting those backside blocks that are allowing you to kind of get up into the hole and make some moves to get to that second level and get some extra yardage out of it. So, you know, Smitty always talks about third and manageables.
Yeah.
And the Falcons haven't had a whole lot of third and manageables this year. And a lot of that is because first down, second down, you're not getting those big chunks of yardage through the run game. So that it's like Steven mentioned, on third and long, you're not going to run the ball.
Yeah.
You know, you're forced into a situation where you've got to pass. Or if you're down by 10 or 15 or 20 points, you've got to throw the ball. That's just kind of the nature of the game.
And that's the worst thing in the NFL, is being one-dimensional.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what defenses have allowed or have forced the Falcons into, is kind of being that one-dimensional team. So, you know, you hope that the running game starts to pick up and you add that extra dimension into the game. Well, let's go to the quarterback, Matt Ryan, who, believe it or not, you know, here we are, week 11, and we're talking about the potential for the Falcons to get their first road win.
Yeah, it's certainly important for us. You know, we've got to focus on trying to find a way to get that done. And I think the way that you do that is you focus on playing well. I think that's probably the biggest thing. We got to work hard and play well, and that's kind of the mindset that I have, and I think the mindset that everybody in here has right now.
And that, to me, is what, you know, the mindset hasn't ever changed for these guys through 11 weeks. And I've gotten a lot of questions about how is the team staying positive?
Yeah.
What's morale like? Everything is fine. Mm-hmm. Like, nobody is hanging their head around here. Nobody's, you know, saying, well, we'll play for draft position or whatever. Yeah. Nobody thinks about that. Yeah. Like, everybody is thinking about the task at hand. Staying consistent, you know, Smitty's huge on consistency, and it showed because these guys come in and whether it's after a win or a loss, they are right back to work, and it's been like that for the 4 years that we've been
exactly
here. and nothing has changed, and so now you and I have seen the other side of it, where, you know, you're not having the season that you want to have, and it's still the same. Every time you go in the locker room, it's the same thing as it was when we were 13-3.
Yeah, and I guess. If there's any positives to being 2-7, it's that the team has remained, you know, consistent in mindset. They've projected themselves the same way. You don't see some of the things that you see around the league sometimes, where some teams start to go in the wrong direction, and there's a little bit of drama in the locker room, or just things start to come out. You hear rumors and whispers of stuff, and you really don't hear that.
No.
You haven't heard that kind of thing out of this locker room, and I think that shows the leadership that Coach Smith's established, like you said, you know, going back a couple of years now. And that's, you know, that win or lose mentality, you know, is a positive. Just continue, you know, moving down the line, you know, into the future, you know, future seasons. It's nice to see that these guys can handle adversity as well as, you know, being a good team.
Yeah, I mean, and I've said this a million times, I feel like you can learn just as much, if not more, from losing than you can winning.
Absolutely.
And, you know, it's important to make those losses learning experiences so you can take something positive out of them. But I think this team has done a really good job of not getting low, not getting high after a couple of wins, just kind of keeping things status quo. I mean, I don't know how many different ways I can say it, but the locker room's no different right now than it was last year at this time.
Not at all.
So that's the locker room. Yeah. Now get out of the locker room.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, let's move on to most valuable Falcon.
Speaking of losing,
I really don't think either one of us is going to walk away a winner in this one.
Yeah, we're going to have to give it to the tie here.
Going to have to give it to the tie. Roddy White, that was my pick.
Yep.
At one catch for 20 yards. Daniel, your pick, Steven Jackson, 11 attempts, 9 rushing yards. No, excuse me. 11 rushing yards, 9 yards receiving.
Yeah.
Okay. So we tied with yardage. 20 yards apiece.
Yeah. That constitutes a tie if there's ever been one.
Yes, that constitutes a tie. So if you are keeping track at home, the standings are now Jay with 4, Daniel with 3, 2 for the ties. 4-3-2.
Hmm.
It's going to come. Those ties are going to come in.
Weeks ago, I felt like I was in a driver's seat. It was like 3-1-1 or something like that.
Yeah, no. Nope.
Yeah.
Nope. 4-3-2. So that's how she stands. And who's going to go first? Who's picking first?
I'll go first.
We'll go with.
We're going to switch things up dramatically.
You've got to sometimes.
Yeah, we've got to. Yeah, you definitely have to switch things up. We're going to go on the defensive side of the ball this week. You know, I don't have a good reason other than I'm just going to go with that over there. So if I'm thinking about guys that have had good games and they've been on a hot streak, so to speak, and maybe it's that guy that's had games that are building up to this really like a strong breakout kind of game. And no, I'm not going to go with Paul Warrelow.
That's what
it may sound like. I'm going to go with another guy, another veteran that we've seen play for a long time, but we don't always hear a lot about him. That's Jonathan Babineau, defensive tackle in the middle. The Tampa offensive line hasn't given up a ton of sacks, but they're not elite level either. They've given up 22. They're about 23rd. Ranked in the league this year, but Jonathan Babineau has been playing really, really well lately. He's been putting together a stream of games. Last week, and I wrote about it on the site earlier this week. Pro Football Focus had him with a really high grade, and I said that that was maybe his best game of the season, and he's pieced together what maybe one of his the better seasons of his career. And I just feel like he's been getting pressure from the inside, and I think. We hear so much about pressure from the outside, from your edges, but I think when you get pressure from the middle, from your guys in the middle, collapsing the pocket, it's a game changer. It changes everything about everything else that's happening on the field, from your defensive ends to your linebackers and everything. And I just feel like Babs is on a roll right now, and I think he's going to go down into Tampa, and maybe he's going to come out with a sack or two, maybe a forced fumble, something like that. And,
all right.
And he's going to change the game.
I like it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm going to go with take your lead up into your pick, but I am going to go with Paul Warrelow because I really feel like after 19 tackles last week or 2 weeks ago, we were numbskulls for not picking him last week.
True.
So you can fool me once, but fool me twice. Not happening.
Okay.
So this time I'm going to go with Paul Warrelow. And, he's just making a lot of plays, and he's hot right now. The Bucs tried to run the ball 20 times with Brian Leonard last week in their first win over Miami. Excuse me, that was earlier this week.
Yeah.
So I feel like the opportunity's there for Warrelow to get those tackles. We'll see what Sean Weatherspoon brings to the table, whether he takes any of those numbers away from him.
Yeah.
But I still feel like Warrelow is that guy who's going to be getting around the football.
Hmm.
So that's going to be my guy.
Okay.
So two defensive players this week.
It's been a while.
It's been a while since we've chosen defensive players, but I think they're well warranted this week.
Absolutely.
And we will see how things go.
Yes, we will.
Yes, we will.
Yes, we will.
Well, thank you once again for tuning in to the Falcon Cast podcast here on AtlantaFalcons.com. Make sure to come back next week, and we'll talk a little bit more about your Falcons.